Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
72. Welcome to 72.
72 hours of bardcasting.
Not even close. We are lucky we are casting at all.
We're not going to get 72 minutes.
Because we are in food comas.
Yes. Yes, so, we are. Oh, do we have that?
Where's the menu?
Oh.
Uh-oh.
I might have to vamp.
Well, you go ahead and vamp. It was on the stairs, though. So I don't know. You brought it when you came up.
No.
No?
No.
Oh, we're fucked.
So we
went to a new restaurant, and we really want to pitch this place. So, Scott, first of all, why don't you tell us a little bit about your week? Because you have some stuff coming up that might be interesting to people. Go ahead and do that. I'm going to go find the menu.
Okay.
All right.
Perfect. Yes. So I get to, along with Brian Lewis and the rest of the cast, Trin Miller, Adrian DiGiovanni, Moses Olson, Mariah Zook, Wonder Russell, Josh Truax. I think I covered everybody. If I didn't, I can't remember all the names that I said because, like I said, food coma. We are finishing up thanks to the generous producing credit for Brad Roberts. We're finishing up the shoot for Depth, the film, at Left Jet Studios and also the Dive Center. Maybe that's too much information, but I'm going to say it anyway. The Seattle Dive Center. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing other people shoot there because I don't get to do anything there. But
Well, whatever.
The other two Zoe DG alum get to do a thing on Tuesday, so kind of excited about that. But yeah, that's the upcoming week. I think we're shooting pretty much the full week. I and most everybody is there Monday and Tuesday. Some folks Monday and Wednesday, and some folks Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But yeah.
So if you're stalking actors, jump on down to Left Jet Studios
in Seattle.
You'll see them. Oh boy.
You'll see some.
So, yeah, that's excellent.
Yeah.
I don't have much going on this week. I had kind of a busy previous week.
Oh.
So.
Talk about that.
Well, okay, I'll talk about that a little bit. Start with the news about this morning, which was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
So I woke up and, like, a short amount of time after I woke up, because I was Redditing, because I read it in bed, whatever, I do Reddit, that's fine. But shortly after I woke up, I heard the sound of one car crumpling as Aaron's smart car was hit yet again.
Wow.
In front of our house. So a dude in a Chrysler 300, silver Chrysler 300.
Wow, yeah, that's how you can tell it's fancy.
It is a nice car. Just officially from the police report fell asleep at the wheel, but he was pretty out of it, so we're not sure exactly what, but hit the car. The two cars fused together.
Ooh.
At the bumpers. He blew both of his airbags. His car is done. It cracked his engine block. He was leaking fluids.
Wow.
Yeah.
Smart car is sturdy.
It is tough as shit, dude. These are tough little cars. So, basically, yeah, it was a bad morning.
Mm-hmm.
We went and gave, we got the guy out of his car, got a blanket around him, got him some water, called the cops. They came. There was no alcohol involved, and I think they did a drug swab as well and didn't find anything, but he was out of it. Shaking a lot, too, because he just fucking wrecked his car, so.
Yeah. Or his dad's car.
Well, yeah, I don't know. My guess is there was probably a Halloween party Saturday night. He probably stayed there the entire night and was in no shape to drive.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was this morning. Halloween, funny that Laura Adams just asked, how was your Halloween? Halloween itself, we stayed in because we wanted to hand out candy for, you know, it's like kind of our first time in the house for Halloween. So we did the thing.
Mm-hmm.
We went and got full-size candy bars, full-size whatchamacallits, full-size Kit Kats, a bunch of Skittles, full bags of Skittles, and nobody.
Nobody came.
Finally, around 9:30, we had about a group of five teenagers who came, and we're just like, just go nuts, guys. Just take them. Just take a bunch of stuff. And so we made their night. They were like, really? Like, yeah. Well, can I get this? And a snack? I was like, just grab it. Just go.
I'm hoping to go back to your place tonight. And
oh, we gave it away. I'll explain that in a second. Oh,
man.
But
how late were you up that night, just out of curiosity?
So we were only up until a little after 10.
Oh, good, because you almost got a knock on the door at about 1.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I saw your post about full-size candy bars. I was like, Andy's always up late. I'm going to
So, yeah, about that. So after the teenagers got their candy, and the best part, of course, was I got to introduce a new generation to whatchamacallit because they had no idea what a whatchamacallit was. They're like, what's this whatchacallit? I'm like, oh, my sweet summer child. Just take a handful. And so, yeah, you know, that's the fucking Ebola of candy. That's going to spread. Yeah, no, it's better than the Ebola of candy.
What were the costumes?
The herpes of candy.
Or was it just five teenagers?
It was just five teenagers.
They weren't. They didn't.
I didn't even care at this point. I did not care. No, they weren't even in costume. I was fine with it. I was just like, take some fucking candy. We may have been inebriated at this point.
Oh, okay.
So we just wanted the candy out of the house.
Yeah.
So yeah, turned off the lights around 10:15.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Got egged around 10:45. And it was the most pathetic, shitty egging ever.
It was your own chickens egging you?
Probably. No. So someone stood at the base of our house throwing the eggs up the staircase because it was the only like clear shot, right?
Mm-hmm.
They threw two eggs. They egged our house with two eggs. But they hit our windows, which sucks because it got in the screens and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But, God, this is like, at least try, guys. Come on. So yeah, and then Saturday, didn't do much.
You went to Five Guys for lunch.
I went to Five Guys. Well, it was my birthday.
I know.
So I went to Five Guys for my birthday lunch. I got a monitor so that we could set up a computer out in our new rearranged living room that Scott got to see today,
which is very lovely. I like the new layout.
It's thank you to Aaron, Amber, and Ray for putting that together. It was
wonderful.
Awesome.
Job.
Great job. And then came home and got ready for what I thought was going to be kind of a little shindig at Scarecrow Video.
Mm-hmm.
So Zoe was putting on a screening and apparently didn't get advertised very well or whatever. We had really nobody. From our side, I showed up, Kevin Pittman, Tony Becerra, and then sort of an auxiliary piece of that was Rival Guy, and then Aaron, of course, came with me. And then there were three other people.
Mm.
Two of those people show up to every single Scarecrow screening, and one guy just kind of popped in halfway through. So nobody bought anything.
Hey, what's going on here?
Yeah, so that's where the rest of the candy went, is I took it and... Really? You're just going to knock over things and make a bunch of noises?
Yep.
All right. So,
love you, Mike Ott.
I took the rest of the candy and just kind of gave it away at the Scarecrow thing and then gave it to Scarecrow and said, just get rid of this for me.
Man.
I know.
Where is my love?
Dude.
There's a whole box behind you of potato chips and candy that you either need to take
home. I don't want to take any candy.
Or sign off and hold me wholly unculpable for anything that may happen to it.
I already ate a bunch of the candy that Rob sent us because those little fucking chocolate the coffee candy bars.
Oh my god,
they're so good. So most of the Canadian candy was way better than American chocolate.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's I blame you guys not showing up.
Yeah.
Come on, people. Now there will be another one on the 15th of November. I will not be there. I don't know if Scott will be there or not.
The week before ZoeCon.
The week before ZoeCon.
I don't know. I have to shoot on the 16th with a new Jeff Farrell.
Gotcha.
Farrell. And Brian Sutherland project.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Jeff Farrell, yeah.
But
Is it the...
No, it is not Hands of Thunder.
Okay. Just
checking. I am going to be a day player playing a hillbilly redneck... abusing my girlfriend in the hotel room next to the serial killer.
Nice. Very nice.
And he comes over to pay a visit.
Okay, good, good.
And I'm going to leave it at that. You're going to have to watch a movie to find out.
Luckily
for you, it's in the first 11 pages.
So Brian Lewis should be there, I believe, on the 15th. But we're going
to
hopefully do a little bit more promotion. Go. It's
to drum up ZoeCon.
ZoeCon.
ZoeCon 2014.
20 this year.
On the
2014th.
Something through the something the weekend before Thanksgiving.
Food coma.
The weekend after the 15th.
The weekend after the 15th. I will be in Boise, Idaho visiting my kids.
On the 15th.
So, on the 15th.
Not for ZoeCon.
Whatever. I don't know.
You'll be there with ZoeCon.
I'll be at ZoeCon.
We'll be bardcasting.
We should be bardcasting from ZoeCon.
We should be bardcasting.
And there should be a radio play that we're doing and a bunch of other stuff, but I haven't seen anything for the radio play, so I don't know if that's happening.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that are on the schedule.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
I haven't gotten scripts ready.
But I haven't.
So
it's going to be impromptu improv.
Yeah. Impromptov.
Impromptov.
So why are we in a food coma, Scott?
We're in a food coma because we didn't know where to eat tonight. Because we got, as Andy said, everything set up to run through one machine now.
Yes, and the stream should be a lot better, we hope.
We don't know. We haven't gotten really any feedback other than how was your Halloween. Mm-hmm. I think we addressed that, although not from my end, but it was good. We, on Andy's recommendation, went to Harry's Chicken Place?
Chicken Joint.
Chicken Joint. And, oh my God, if you are one to partake of the newly legalized substances here in Washington and or Colorado, you should go there Tuesdays through Sundays, 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. because they're only open for supper. Yep. And holy Christ on a crutch, I
all of your disabled saviors, seriously, we got them covered. So
I have hit
oh man
the gastronomical equivalent of nirvana,
right? In that he got so full he wants to blow his brains out.
Yes.
So here's the thing: for those of you watching at home, you can see how short the menu is, and I'll just read it. You want to?
For those of you who aren't at home, there are four main menu items and two sides.
Yeah, and then there's a special usually. That's it. Some sort right. of, you know?
Yeah. Whatever. So, Harry's Chicken Joint, for $24, the most expensive thing on the menu, you can get a whole chicken fried, a fresh Draper Valley natural chicken right here in the great state of Washington, broken into 12 pieces, two thighs, two drumsticks, as is natural on a bird, two wings, also natural, two breast tenders, also natural, and... unnaturally, two breasts cut in half.
Right.
12 pieces. Do the math. Yeah. A half fried chicken is only $13. Mm-hmm. Then the regular, I'm going to sit down and eat their menu, is the chicken tenders. Five skinless, boneless breast chicken tenders. 8 to 9 ounces each. $8. Chicken and...
this is...
just a sec. Duck fat biscuits, two tenders with a biscuit and house. It lists here bacon gravy.
That's not true. Not true.
They moved up to bacon gravy from the original chicken gravy. They have now transcended bacon gravy with homemade lamb meatball gravy.
No joke.
$6.
$6. Wait, I want to let that sink in. This is two. These are essentially boneless
8 to 9 ounce. Yep.
These are like huge pieces of chicken. Two of those on a fresh duck fat biscuit, like made that day, with homemade gravy made that day for $6.
Then the chicken and, again, duck fat waffles, two chicken tenders with waffle and maple and plum syrup for $7. Add prosciutto for $1 more. Today, the special was...
This is amazing.
Prosciutto stuffed waffles.
Yes.
Two of them.
For three bucks.
And with... This isn't maple with some plum sauce and some prosciutto sprinkled over the top of a waffle. No.
No.
This is a Belgian waffle square.
Mm-hmm.
With, let's put a little sauce... Let's put a little prosciutto. Let's put a little more sauce. We'll bake it all together.
Mm-hmm. And then drizzle fresh from the pan plum maple maple syrup. This place is
that
amazing.
That was dessert.
It was dessert. So good. $3.
The duck fat biscuit and house bacon / lamb gravy, $3. The mashed yellow potatoes with house gravy, $2.
And then various sodas and whatnot. But I want to give you guys a clear picture of the reason we are doing this. We are not taking sponsorship or anything like that.
Though we did tell them freely multiple times they were getting podcasted for quite some time tonight.
Yeah, so this is the most mom and pop type of place you've ever been to. This is not... Everything they do is handmade. Everything they do.
They're open 20 hours a week.
Open 20 hours a week. They cook their chicken in giant cast iron pans. That's how they deep fry. They don't even have pressure deep fryers. They deep fry them the old fashioned way, hand bread everything in front of your face and eyes.
Fresh cooked. Takes 12 minutes.
It takes
to make the chicken 12
minutes. Like, because it's not pressure cooked.
No.
And there is a very discernible flavor that comes from not pressure cooking chicken, where it's a little chewier, but it is so much more packed full of... it was just really...
The breading comes off like... I was telling Andy, it was like eating a skin... All the wonderful awesomeness of skin chicken without the bones.
Yep.
It was truly amazing. They are available to dine in or take out 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Catering available. They're on California Avenue Southwest. They do have a website and a Facebook page.
Their website,
Harry's Chicken Joint. Seth, please.
Well, it's harryschicken.com is the website. You remember him saying that. And then Harry's Chicken Joint on Facebook. The other thing I want to say is it's like 6030. Can you get the actual address?
6032 California Avenue Southwest
in
Seattle,
West
Seattle, Washington.
Yeah, so it's right next to the West Seattle Zeke's. I highly recommend checking it out. Gordon Duke asks, how does it compare to Azell's? Very different. It is a very different chicken place. I will say, Azell's is much more the traditional what you think of for pressure fried chicken. It's like Azell's is like the it's what KFC is poorly imitating. Is the Azell's type of chicken. This is a completely different thing. This is a thick, crunchy breaded. I can't even. They're not the same. It's very, very good. Highly recommend it. So, yeah, give it a try if you're in West Seattle. Hell, come to West Seattle and give it a try if you're not, because it's very good and we want to support them.
Yeah.
Because they really are just the nicest people, too. They talk to you about... ask for a recipe, they'll give it to you. Like, they straight up just told us everything because they figure, hey, you're going to want to come eat here when we're open, you know, if you like it. And
you were telling me the fact that they talk up their competition or their... peer.
Yeah, they talk up Azell's. They talk up one of the best chicken places in Seattle is kind of a funny thing. It's on Capitol Hill. It's called City Market. And they have some of the best fried chicken in Seattle. No joke. But these guys are, you know, Zagat rated. They are in competitions with all of these other chicken places, but they talk them up. They are very open to the competition. They are culinary people. Like, and I mean that this isn't a guy who like decided to open a chicken place because you know, he's like, oh, I think I can do this chicken thing. I'll throw some flour on it. Blah. No, this dude went to culinary school. He researches everything. He researched how lamb worked, like, in his sauce, compared it to a bunch of other stuff. They used to plum maple cure their bacon back in the mm-hmm. day. They also do occasional one-offs just to test stuff out and sell it for very cheap because it's a test. Oh, we got matzo ball soup when we sat down.
Yes, we did.
Like, that's just crazy.
Gratis.
Yeah, just here, have some matzo ball soup. Like, it was awesome. So, good place. Highly recommended.
We got a text.
We're getting text questions?
From a listener.
Okay, tell me.
Did you ask how much insulin and Lipitor the owners are on? No. This was still healthy.
It really was. It was,
yeah.
Like, we could have gone to Jack in the Box, dropped about 30% more money, frankly, and walked out with clogged arteries.
Yes.
It is still fried chicken. I will give you that. But overall, it's real food. Like,
it's not soaked fried chicken. It's chicken that's been, yes, dunked into fried stuff. Mm-hmm. Yes, the breading is fried, but it's not permeated into the chicken like the pressure cooked stuff.
Yeah, and it's really good.
Yeah.
So,
and in small doses.
Yeah.
Two chicken tenders and a biscuit with some gravy. And they weren't, in fact, the wife was like, hey, do you guys want some more gravy? Because it looked like he was a little stingy with that. And he kind of was. It wasn't your typical,
right,
here's stuff smothered in a moat of gravy. It was, here's some drizzled over it. I mean, there was almost none that hit the plate.
Right. It was
versus
very,
the biscuit and the
it
meat.
It was well balanced. Now, the mashed potatoes came with a bowl of fucking gravy.
Yes. But they need to.
They're mashed potatoes.
Right.
Amazing mashed potatoes, too. Like, the yellow potatoes, slightly
yellow
sweet.
Yukon Gold.
Oh, my God.
Hand
so
mashed with some skin in it. Potatoes.
Yep. Good stuff.
Mm.
So, there's your two bards eat.
Yeah.
Portion
Dennis
of the
Nickel.
Podcast. Yeah.
Put that Dennis. In your gullet and swallow.
Also, Dennis Nickel, just come up here and grab some. And take me.
Yeah. Me
because,
too.
Mm. So, additionally, so my week's pretty slow. I don't have a lot going on. Nothing filming. Nothing.
You just got the call sheet. That's what half of those pings were,
great,
by the way. So
great. Short of setting up the living room and whatnot and getting stuff like that worked out, not a lot going on. I will say that at work, I upgraded to Yosemite on my Mac.
What is Are they getting away from the lion?
Tim Cook and I need to have a talk.
And the snow leopard?
Well, they've been so Mavericks was the first sort of jump
OS
away.
OS 8?
Well, no. I mean, it's still OS X, right? But it was like 10.8. Yeah.
Okay, so they haven't combined their phone tablet system with desktop. Okay.
No, that's Microsoft that's doing it.
Okay, just okay.
So basically, like, Mavericks was, it had a lot of problems too when it first came out, but none of its problems were hamstring problems. Like, they were minor nits. It introduced a lot of flashy animation. It introduced a lot of other stuff that was, you know, like Snow Leopard and whatnot, not nearly as much whiz bang. Then comes Yosemite. And
just like, can I jump in with one?
Yeah, go nuts.
It's so rare that I get one of these. If only your desktop could be Maverick, then the iPhone and the tablet could be Goose.
It could be Goose.
Goose and Maverick.
That would have been amazing.
Wingman.
But here's the other thing. It wasn't Maverick. It was Mavericks. They pluralized it. Yeah.
So it was.
And then it was that rootin' two
Mavericks. Was that James Garner? Or was that Mel Gibson?
Maverick. Well, it was both.
Okay.
The original Maverick was James Garner, and
right,
he played his
somebody
father
in the
Mel. I don't know, something like that. Jodie Foster. It was a good movie, though.
Was.
So, Maverick, or I'm sorry, Yosemite. I upgraded on my work computer. Mistake number one: don't upgrade on your work computer until it's baked for a while. Our IT department said, "Hey, we feel like this one's ready to go out of the box, so we're going to go ahead and let you do it." The next day, stop doing it. This was a huge mistake. Pretty much, if in the Enterprise, if you have their equivalent of BitLocker, which is just Drive Locker or something like that, enabled on the machine, essentially anything that fucks up even a little bit with like the Wi-Fi for some reason will cause you to not be able to boot.
Nice.
So I was fine for a little while, and as of Thursday, my computer no longer boots, my laptop. So
sweet.
My Windows one still works fine.
Right.
But my, yeah. So Yosemite just kind of shot that.
So what's the IT department going to do with your non-bootable laptop?
They're
going to
re-image it.
Okay.
So I lose everything, which is fine. I don't care about that. But if I was a home user, I'd be pissed.
Yeah.
I'd be so mad.
Here, geniuses, fix this.
Well, and it's toward the end of his life, Jobs started investing in QA. Old Apple had terrible QA.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, awful. Terrible security, too. Just old Apple didn't care. They weren't a target. They didn't have to care. But, right. You know, Jobs just wasn't a priority for him. He felt that design would take care of the quality. And kind of. They had a lot of bugs and stuff, but nobody cared because they're Apple users. So toward the end of his life, as Apple grew in market share, he's like, oh, fuck, I guess we better test this now. And they started getting really good at QA. Their QA departments were really, really focused. Cook came in and slowly started tearing that down again.
Mm-hmm. This is evident in iOS 8.
Yes, stuff stopped getting tested as much for major, major functionality changes. iOS 8 is a complete departure from anything before it.
Yeah.
It should have baked twice as long in QA and been tested by twice as many people in that bake time. Didn't happen. Mavericks was poorly tested as well, but Yosemite even more so. Same thing. So I don't know. I guess we'll see if they decide to create a new or release a patch for it or something soon. But as of right now, don't upgrade to Yosemite on a critical system. You know, play around with it, whatever. If you've got a extra Mac laying around, I guess. But if it's a system that you used to do work on, hold off a bit.
I think I finally got something that you don't have. On my Windows Phone update.
Herpes?
Talk about a little tech. Ha ha.
Hmm.
I have the Wi-Fi and the cellular data is working arrows.
Oh, I've got those.
Okay, because they said they weren't working on AT&T.
They're probably not working the official update.
Oh, because you got the developer.
I've got the developer update.
Okay, yeah. But apparently they're working on the T-Mobile site. And I was looking at them thinking, is this transmit, but they're only arrows going away.
Right.
There's no, so it's uploading, but there's no download arrow.
Right.
The arrow just means I'm transmitting either upload or download.
Right.
So I went on Windows Phone Central and found the answer to that. And they're like, we haven't been seeing this, but we've been inundated with questions. Apparently it doesn't work on the AT&T network.
Ah.
But everybody else is writing in. So yeah, I got like 3 updates in 36 or 48 hours.
Yep.
So that was kind of cool. Really happy about that with the phone.
Yeah, there's a new start screen coming too that was a Skunkworks project by an intern in Windows Phone.
Really?
I played around with it. It does not work with the latest update though, so I had to uninstall it. But it's essentially an interactive start screen.
Nice.
So you can do a few things without unlocking your phone. A few safe things without unlocking your phone.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah, things like location. Like you can stuff like that.
That would be so helpful.
Very neat. Very neat stuff.
Cool.
So yeah. Windows phones really, I love it, but developers just won't fucking support it.
Nope.
Because not enough people use it, because no developers support it.
Catch-22. Douchebags, one and all.
Yeah, well.
But Urban Spoon does.
Urban Spoon does. And Uber.
Pandora does.
Uber does now.
Uber, nice.
Yeah, you can get your Uber. Still can't do Square, motherfuckers. Sorry, I didn't mean that. Oh, no, I did. Yeah. I meant every word of that. Because last time I contacted Square, they were really snotty about it. Like, maybe you should use a real phone platform. Maybe you should shut the fuck up. Square almost supported BlackBerry.
Yeah.
They're not really a good judge of this thing.
No. Is that dead yet?
If you're not in Toronto, yeah.
Okay. Because they were coming out with the non-traditional BlackBerry built-in keyboard phone.
Yes.
That was going with the traditional, here's a blank screen, no actual button phone.
Capacitive, yeah.
But I don't know if that ever...
So, if you watch the show Orphan Black, there's still shit tons of BlackBerry. That's all filmed in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, watch the show Orphan Black. Holy shit.
Yeah, I would like to.
Fuck.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, nod, nod.
Amazon.
Really? It's on Prime?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
hope we're listening out there.
You could be one of the four people who bought a Fire Phone and find that out.
Oh. Did you hear what Jeff Bezos said about that?
No, what did he say?
He said...
I don't listen to anything
and I
about
quote,
the company.
And I quote, I don't care if I have to put these in a garage for 10 years... to figure out how to make the phone, we're going to be in the phone business. He doesn't care if you have to sit on the stuff for a decade
to
get everything.
Hey.
The commitment is there.
That's
and
good.
That is one thing I really like about Bezos is that, you know, he hits a home run with Fire and with the Kindle. And, you know, those were great and he innovates. And then it's like, hey, this is going to be an awesome phone. When you look at things, they'll move and it'll do all this stuff. And everyone went, meh.
Well,
which is kind of like what the wearable iWatch is going to be, and Microsoft rushing to
the
their
band.
Wearable i.
I saw all of these
MS Watch thing.
So I've seen all of these like hashtag Microsoft band, and I'm like, oh, cool. They're like putting together, Microsoft band. but
no,
it's a Fitbit, which means fuck it. But. Yeah, the some of the hardware. Okay, I will. So,
none of my opinions are the official opinions of Amazon or any of its subsidiaries, especially Zappos, because they make shoes and that'd be weird.
Or IMDb.
The Fire HD X8.9 from the previous generation. The current generation one's fine too, but it's. It's got a little bit of extra hardware wonkiness that it's still a really great tablet, but I still like the one from the previous generation better. That 8.9 inch tablet is one of the best pieces of Android hardware you can get, period.
Nice.
It is. So it's got a 2.5K screen. It's got a Snapdragon 800 processor, 2 gigs of RAM. It is a fast fucking tablet, right? So I stand behind like a lot of the stuff that we do. And the phone, the people who like the phone fucking love the phone.
Yeah.
People who don't like the phone don't like the phone. They don't care. I will say, these opinions are my own, that commercial for the phone is probably about the worst thing to happen to the phone.
I don't think I've ever seen the commercial.
Two fucking asshole hipster kids.
Oh, no.
8-year-old kids. Going back and forth, it's like, hey, this is the best phone I've ever seen. What do you got on deck? And fuck it. Put Gary Busey in another commercial. I'll take Gary Busey going, next to a bell over these fucking little shit kids. Spoiled ass shit kids with a fucking Fire Phone. Going, it's the most amazing thing I've seen in all my 8 years.
By the way.
Wearing a George Costanza hat. Fuck you, kid.
Surface is the official technology of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
All of their, they no longer get the printed pages of what's going on.
And the CW, it looks like.
They get everything on a Surface. Mm-hmm. And so now, in the press conferences, everyone's asking, hey, so how is the digital, display coming, getting that information right away instead of having to wait for things to print? And people, quarterbacks, are like, oh yeah, I really love using the iPad.
I know.
And they're getting fined.
Yep.
By the NFL for not saying that. Also, two, CW. Oh, it's a CW show. Arrow
and the Flash.
Is using Surface and Nokia phones.
Yep.
And Parks and Rec is using Nokia phones. But some fictitious, non-anything operating system on it.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is also using Microsoft Tech. They are using the Surface 3, and they're using Nokia phones. And their Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the first one where I think they've backed off a little bit. Like because, I mean, let's be honest. When you get into marketing, everyone's an asshole.
Yeah.
Microsoft marketers are assholes. Apple marketers are assholes. They're all piles of shit. So Microsoft marketers are like, oh, you have to show the blah, blah, blah. You have to do the thing. You have to. I think they've backed off a little on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because, like, episode one of the series, it's like, hey, look at me pinch zooming. And after that, it's like, no, fuck it. We're just using the tablet. You know, you're seeing it a little bit, but that's it. And that's so much better than what they were trying to do. No, Seth, I do not feel that the next version is going to be Yosemite Sam. The next version.
Although he was a Maverick.
Oh, God. Maybe they'll start a like park theme, and it'll be like, you know, it'll be fucking Yellowstone next. And then maybe.
Bryce?
I don't know many parks.
Zion?
I think if they called it Zion, that's a little too on the nose for Apple.
Yeah.
This is going to be heaven on earth, guys.
Grand Canyon.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, by the way, let me redo this so that it's better.
There we go. That's good. That's cotton picking, highfalutin. Bunch of cussing under the breath.
Talk a lot, pickle and more.
We just watched that last night at Scarecrow Video. That's what we're watching. We were watching you get your arm ripped off. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because Christian does the cheap, cheap, cheap.
Right.
Talk a lot, pick a little more.
And then the cat.
The cat.
His cat, by the way.
Yeah. Not his real name.
No.
His real name's annoying.
Customer. And who soon after filming got too big for the house and left.
The cat got too big for the house?
Yeah, he was like,
I'm
peace
done
out, bitches,
people.
I'm done.
Oh, wow.
And left.
Like, too big, like not physically, but too big.
No, too big. He was a
just
movie
too
star.
Good for the house,
was,
yeah.
Ah, who are you hacks?
Oh, yeah.
Doing fucking theater. I'm in the movies. Peace. He's gone.
Of course, in fairness, isn't that what you did for about 6 months?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So,
which we didn't get to talk about last week, the new project that I'm doing with Bo Pritchard and Brian Bender.
Brian Bender?
And
the Brian Bender?
The Brian Bender. Oh. The creepy ceiling, not random.
Creepy ceiling voice, yes.
Yes.
I was going to say...
Random creepy knife guy, but...
Yes. I was going to say a little bit more about the screening, because I thought this was really funny.
Oh, yeah.
So we brought the highest quality version of the video we had,
mm-hmm.
which is a... It was a mix down off of a 38... No, sorry, a 70 gig ProRes file. Because for those of you who don't know, Dorkness Rising was filmed on a Franken camera that was basically the same build out as George Lucas used to film Episode One.
Now, Star Wars.
Don't hold that against it.
No.
Okay.
But it was a good fucking camera.
Well, yes and no. So for anyone who's ever complained about a Red being difficult to use, this thing is like fucking fighting five ninjas. All the time. And it records to digital tape.
Yeah.
It didn't record to hard drives or any... think about this. This is like... This camera came about in what? The late 90s, essentially? It's like when it first came about. So the highest res you can get out of this thing is 720p. And the ProRes mixdown they did is terrible. Now, nobody's still working for Zoe is responsible for this. There were two places in the entire U.S. where you could read the tapes, the DATs for this. Two places in the entire U.S. So what we ended up getting has a lot of these weird vertical lines in it that looks like some kind of like Photoshop effect or... You know what it looked like to me?
Hmm.
Sega CD. Like the Sega CD cutscenes. higher resolution, but that kind of weird artifacting. So we're watching this and it's just like, I don't know what to say. And then it dawns on everyone. It's like the quality doesn't even matter because the movie's so damn funny. And, you know, like I said, we had three people who weren't into Zoe watching it and they were, they were cracking up. So two of them didn't even know what tabletop gaming was.
Wow.
And they were still cracking up.
Good.
It's a good movie.
Okay.
So,
well, there we go.
Yeah, pretty funny. But that fucking camera. And then we jumped to Humans and Households, filmed on the Blackmagic and the Red.
And the Red.
I will say the Blackmagic does look better.
Oh yeah,
like by a lot.
Tons.
The red looks almost like a video camera, which is kind of weird. But and that was after. I mean, Ben is very good at color grading, and mm-hmm. he did a lot of great work with that. And it's still just something's wrong with it. It's
yeah,
like not organic enough, maybe.
But that's okay because it works.
It's fine. It works. It works great, and it's a yeah, it's a different world, right? So that jump in film quality, pretty impressive.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, and the comedy's still there, so that was good.
Yeah.
People really liked Humans and Households, so.
Good.
Yep. Anyway, you were saying you're filming...
Well, not filming, just the next theater.
Next theater thing. Oh, right.
Next theater thing, which is...
We should call Bo up here. No, let's not.
We will... This is a teaser for next week.
For next week. Bo will...
We'll do the whole... That way we have prep time.
And, yeah.
And we can...
But what's the project called? Can you say that?
It's called Evan and Bobby.
Evan and Bobby.
A Twisted Christmas Carol.
Yeah. So this is what won XCX last year, which was the Christmas Carol Experience.
Experiment.
It was an experience, too.
It was. It was definitely an experience, but it was an experiment that paid off.
Yeah, there were four... pieces
but
of
but we'll the, do this next week.
Oh, okay.
Because
okay,
a lot right, of the right, genesis right. is you, so I want you and Bo to really talk about
Sega.
The process that's gone in almost a year.
You're right. Okay, yeah, that'd be, yeah, that's fine.
That. And, I Let's mean, do that. And that would be good, because we're already past 40 minutes. We got the three questions.
Let's do the questions.
And
I want to lay
in
down.
I'm phone food co- phone yeah. Kuma?
Phone Kuma.
Phone Kuma. All right.
sounds like a fighter from a shitty 2001 Xbox fighting game.
Next round, Phone Kuma.
Okay, Dennis Nickel writes.
Of course he does.
What is your guys' top five detective movie, play, and or TV series?
All right, let me
Sherlock.
Think of this. Sherlock. Okay.
The BBC TV
yes,
series.
The BBC TV. I have not seen Elementary. I should. But
I have not seen Elementary, and I've not seen Holmes and Watson.
Hmm.
But I have seen the Sherlock Holmes movies.
Right.
And I like those as well.
So, Sherlock, for sure.
So, there could be four winners, all with the same
right.
gentleman.
Well, and then there's She-Lock, for me, which is Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries, Franny Fisher's Murder Mysteries.
Okay.
It's a Melbourne-based period piece from the 1920s about a... Just look it up. It's fucking awesome. I frankly
called She-Lock?
No, but it's a girl oh, Sherlock.
Okay.
Woman Sherlock person. I was trying to be cute. It failed.
What's the name of the actual thing for them?
Miss
to look up?
Fisher's Murder Mysteries, unless you're outside of the US, and then it's Franny Fisher's Murder Mysteries.
Okay.
Or no, wait. I think the show's still Miss Fisher. Franny Fisher is the name of the book. So
okay.
I would put it above Sherlock.
Wow.
For me personally, yeah. Dude, my son loves the show. Like, we watched it when they were in town, because we bought season two from... Mm-hmm. So, you know you can buy Amazon movies worldwide from other Amazon subsidiaries
mm-hmm.
way before they come out in the U.S.?
Yep.
So, that's what we did. We bought the Australian release of Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries season two, watched it while eating pie and coffee. So...
NCIS.
God, no.
Is that... They've been around for almost 12 seasons. It could,
yeah.
It may soon surpass MASH as the longest running live action TV series.
I caught my lip on something. My tooth. 15-year-old kid wrote that, by the way. Suicide is Painless?
Yes, I worked with his uncle.
Oh, that's right. You went to his uncle's funeral. Wasn't that the guy in Oregon who? No, I'm thinking of someone else. Sorry.
It was Bob Page.
Bob Page.
My theater director.
Right.
No, one of the guys I worked with at Imprint Store early on, who was sort of our venture capital fundraiser guy. I think it was his son or nephew or grandson or somebody who wrote it. But yeah, Suicide is Painless.
Yep. All right, so other...
Certainly is, unless you do it wrong. Then it hurts like a son of a bitch.
Yeah.
All
because he had a big dick. That's why Painless wanted to kill himself.
All right. None of the Agatha Christie plays will ever be anywhere near, yeah, I'm walking away from that.
That's fine.
Near the Clue. Top anything.
Clue. I will take Clue.
But that wasn't Agatha Christie, right?
No, no.
Okay, because I will take Clue.
Yep.
As a movie, that was pretty awesome.
All right, so I've got two more. I really want to pick good ones, is the thing. And I'm thinking,
I know,
like,
but I don't know.
Because, like, there's House. Maybe. That's essentially a mystery show.
Really I is. Will, yeah, I will throw House in there. That's awesome.
I'm not taking House.
I will on my end because okay. I really like it.
Oh,
would Arrow be considered a murder? No, I have it.
The Bloodhound Gang.
It's a music group.
No, it was a show. Well, it was a show within a show on 3-2-1 Contact. Wherever there's trouble, we're there on the double. We're the Bloodhound Gang. If you got the crime, we got the time. I think one of those guys committed suicide.
I'm going to go with the ambiguously gay duo.
Yeah, they're crime fighters. Scooby-Doo, but only when Batman and Robin were there.
I'm going to go with a brand new series that Moses Olsen turned me on to that's on Netflix.
Ooh.
That is only 2 season, was on ABC. And has Damian Lewis.
Nice.
Who is a wonderful, wonderful actor. It's called Life.
Now, Damian Lewis is...
Band of Brothers.
He's a British actor?
Yep, British ginger.
Who plays Americans quite well.
With a better American dialect than I have.
And introduced the Dreamcatcher freakout.
Yes.
Which, first of all, Dreamcatcher... Jason Lee is in it and gets his ass eaten out on a toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a good way.
No.
Not salad tossed.
No.
He just gets fucking eaten in.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Dreamcatcher.
I did. Was talking about for that him. With Bo last night. Yeah.
For Lewis, frankly. Yeah. He was amazing.
He was amazing in that.
In
Band of Brothers and a number of other things. And he doesn't go with the Eric Bana Southern dialect.
Right.
He doesn't go with the I'm going to shoot and... cheat and do the Bronx accent. No. It's straight up just standard, ubiquitous American accent perfection.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about because that's what Hoskins did. That's the only thing Hoskins could do.
Yeah.
Great, great actor. He could only do the New York-y sort of.
So like me doing Cockney. All right.
No, except he did it well.
Or is that Australian? I could never get it.
Oh, God damn.
Cockney just or
stop.
Australian.
Just stop.
Shrimp on the barbie. Thanks, Stuart. Are there any Sheilas around? This is a knife.
Oh, God, I'm vomiting.
And Vegemite.
And Vegemite. And Vegemite. That's a scene.
I've used up all of my.
Also, happy summer to our Australian friends.
Yes, yes. Happy, happy summertime.
Oh, boy.
So, I think I've listed off 5.
Oh, speaking of Miss Fisher's murder mysteries, started filming today.
You did?
In Melbourne. They did. Season 3.
All right.
Because they are funded publicly through the, I think it's CBS, but it's not CBS. It's like, I don't know, Canberra.
Kookaburra?
It'd be Canberra, but I know it's Australia. Or no, it's ABC. It's the Australian Broadcasting Corporation or something.
Oh, okay.
Like that. Yeah. So they get public funding and all this other stuff. So they have to sort of petition to get their shows made and all that stuff and go through all that bureaucracy. And they got season 3, which has been, I think, 2 years since season 2 wrapped. So I'm really excited. Dude, I have I loaned you this show yet? I need to loan you this show.
I'm still working on Pushing Up Daisies.
Fucking great.
Yeah.
So, hey, and that's a murder, or that's a mystery show.
Okay.
They go around solving crimes.
There we go.
All right, I'll take out Scooby-Doo and put in Pushing Daisies.
Okay.
Just because Paul Rubens is in it. He is.
Like I said.
What's the next question?
Shy McBride. That's the one I'm worried about.
Shy McBride. Started acting at 38 years old.
There's hope for me yet.
Mm-hmm.
Paula Moran writes, Munsters or Addams Family and series or movie?
Addams Family series. Period. Hands down. Munsters is great.
Yeah.
Monsters is great.
They're all good. But
they're all good.
The original Addams Family series.
Raul Julia is great as well. And, I mean, dude, Addams Family was impeccably cast as a film. It was impeccably cast.
I may be getting a text soon on this very question. But yes, the TV series.
But the TV series to me, hands down, that is, there was nothing like it. Nothing like it. And it is still good TV today. The Munsters is funny today. It's cute. But it's very 60s. It's very... It wasn't really macabre in any way. It wasn't really gothic. It was goofy.
It was goofy, campy gothic.
Adam's Family, like, they were truly fucked up. And if you think about the time when it filmed, they were way fucked up. John Astin.
Did you say Utes?
Did you say Utes?
Fred Gwynne? Ed Gwynne? Fred Gwynne.
Fred Gwynne, My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah.
As the judge. Same year, I believe same year, he did Pet Sematary. He was Judd. Or Judge. Maybe he was Judge in that too, but like not a judge.
Not a judge, but Judge. Yeah.
Gage sliced his little fucking Achilles tendon. Yeah, Fred Gwynne was he in the Car 54 reboot? I can't remember. I don't know why I'm thinking about that, but I don't know.
Maybe Seth will be on that. Hey, before I get into the last nice / bullshit thing, anything on the feed?
Seth just says that Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries are on Netflix. So really? Get your asses out there and watch that show. Drum up support. And let them know. Fucking write emails to ABC, the Australian ABC, not ours. Ours doesn't do anything good.
But, oh, by the way, quick shout out to Connor Marks.
Connor Marks.
Who achieved his lifelong ambition of portraying a Slavic cosmonaut on a TV series.
Yes.
Go watch last week's sci-fi.
I've said
You'll
it before.
You'll get a big dose of Connor in your face.
And I'll say it again. He is cosmonauty.
It's true.
Yeah.
And cosmonautical.
Yeah. And he got to fight DJ Qualls. Kind of. He got to scare DJ Qualls.
There you go. Yeah. He's way better than the zombie.
No good.
Husky.
No good.
No.
Yes.
He's no good. And the last question, unless something comes in on the live feed. Thomas Brophy.
Who is a dick.
Cockmaster General writes in and says... Happy birthday, Andy.
Thank you, Dick.
That's the nice part.
That's the nice part.
If you had the power to have any wish granted, what would you want? That's a neutral part.
Mm-hmm.
And then the, and go Cowboys is a fuck you, Tom Brophy. Piece of shit, bullshit.
I just don't care.
Add-on that is unnecessary. And it is official. I watched the Seahawks game. At his place, I will not be going back there to watch any more Seahawks games. Ooh. I am publicly saying this now, Tom, not just on the couch in your house. No, I am publicly saying that I will not support his Seattle fandom because he said for the first time, I believe, in my ears that I heard, the Cowboys are my team. Tom Brophy, you are dead to me except when you come to class.
And then outside only of that, if we need you to be dead.
You are, sir, you and your Cowboys can put that where the sun don't shine. Happy birthday, Andy.
Thanks. Would they bury him with his boots on? So
boots in.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a snake in my boots and my ass.
So I already know what my wish granted would be.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the glitch answer. Which is a character sheet that reflects everything in real life.
Mm-hmm.
So you could basically become a god.
I thought it was going to be time, because you thought, or light.
Light was the other one. That was a superpower. This is a wish.
Oh, okay.
So the wish would allow me to be so powerful that I could just make myself have that ability in addition to everything else.
See, I'm giving up my wish real quick.
Yeah?
It's one and done.
Is it for Tom Brophy to take back that entire thing?
It's for Tom Brophy to man up, sack up, grow a pair, and become a Seahawk fan and leave the Dallas Cryboys.
You know,
well, it's the San Francisco 40 Winers.
You know what? Let's do this. Here, I've got an idea. Why don't we poll some Cowboys fans and ask them what they think about New Jersey? Because I don't think Tom's going to like what they have to say.
Well, I already asked him... Would you like to live in Dallas? I mean, he grew up in Jersey.
Right.
But he fell... He says people love this romanticized story he has. At age 8, he fell in love with the star of the Dallas Cowboys, and it became his team, America's team. And I said, okay, would you like to live in Dallas? No, I'd live in Austin. Okay, but it's not the Austin Cowboys. It's the Dallas Cowboys, and it's the Seattle Seahawks. You've lived here for 12 years. You have never lived in Texas.
I will say I respect that a little more, though. And I'll tell you why. You're basically saying, hey, you know, you were born in India, so you're Hindu. He's saying, no, I found my religion myself. So I kind of respect that in a way a little bit more.
You might, but you don't. You don't follow the sports balls.
I don't.
So shut up.
It's true.
Now I can't say that.
Until they
he's not heavy. He's my brother. Andy Dabrowski.
Until Calvin ball or Blurns ball become a real sport. Yeah, I'm kind of out of the whole thing. If air
or
hockey,
baskets become a ball.
Or baskets. I can follow basketball.
Yeah.
Or air hockey becomes like a competitive thing versus just a knuckle-bleeding, forehead-smashing thing.
I want professional dodgeball, man.
If you can dodge a wrench, fuck.
You can dodge a ball.
Oh.
By the way, I don't mean any of that, Tom. You know you're good with me. But I just got to...
He's crossing his fingers, Tom.
I was going to say something, but that might be misconstrued when I say it that way. I'm just gonna call a cowboy a cowboy. And
oh shit, yeah, don't ever say that.
No.
Even if you're gardening.
Yeah, and
don't even fucking say that ever. God,
thank you. Andy knows what I was gonna say.
Oh man.
And I'm sure most of you do too now.
Yeah. So,
but hey, we went way longer than we anticipated.
I've been asleep for most of this podcast. I'm lucky I haven't crashed into one of Aaron's cars.
There's still time. I need to get you home.
Yeah, it's true. So Neil deGrasse Tyson, if you're listening and you want some fucking amazing chicken, come on to the podcast and we will take you to Harry's.
Where you can have chicken and waffles.
Or chicken and biscuits. Or just a chicken.
Or prosciutto waffles.
Prosciutto motherfucking waffles.
And you can explain why Tom Brophy is such an asteroid.